the world is too complicated for us to deal with, and that's one of the problems that we face on an ongoing basis. And then the question is, well, what do you do about that? And if you ignore it, it gets worse, so ignoring it doesn't work. And so we know what doesn't work, and so if ignoring it doesn't work, then attending to it might work. And that slots very nicely into the hero mythology that promotes the idea that if there's a dragon in the neighborhood, let's say, that hiding in the basement just makes it grow larger. It's time to go out and confront the damn thing. And the general stories are, is, well, you might get killed because it's a dragon, but it's only might as opposed to definitely will get killed if it happens to attack you at 3 a.m. at home when you're hungover and it's been a bad day and you don't have your sword and your shield at the ready, which is generally what happens to people who avoid things. So it's not something that should be recommended. How much time do you spend maintaining a house? Well, a lot. And why is that? It's because the house falls apart because you're stupid. And the house falls apart, well, because you do repairs wrong or you ignore things, right? The house falls apart because you're incompetent. But even if you're competent, the house falls apart, right? It's just entropy. And so things have a proclivity to fall apart on their own. So you just have to run like mad just to keep them doing what they're supposed to be doing. And then, of course, that is complicated by your own willful blindness and inadequacy as a repair person and refusal to attend and all those other things. So, and that's a very classic idea, the idea that the earth is periodically flooded for two reasons. One is things fall apart. Just entropy. It's straight entropy. It's things fall apart of their own accord. And that's one of the things that we have to contend with. And then the rate at which things fall apart is sped by the sins of men. That's the other idea. And you know that. Everyone knows that because you know, your car breaks down on the highway. And you think, God, that's so inconvenient. And then you shake your fist at the sky. And then there's part of you in the back of your mind that goes, God, you know, I knew that rattle that I wasn't paying attention to actually signified something, you know, and I knew I should have paid attention to it, and I didn't, and now I'm in the situation that I'm in now. And, you know, I bet you this happens to people 2 or 3 times a week, is they do something stupid that they know they shouldn't have done, that they told themselves not to do mere seconds before, and they know, the voice says, don't do that, yeah, you do it. You can get nailed for it exactly the way that you knew you would get nailed for it. And then you're hurt doubly because not only did it fall apart, but you're the idiot that made it fall apart, knowing full well that it was going to fall apart and ignoring it. And so that's the idea behind the notion that there are two reasons that things fall apart: thermodynamic entropy and the proclivity of people not to attend to things they know they should attend to. And partly we do that because If a problem emerges, it always announces itself, unless it's a really, really tiny problem and you're approaching it voluntarily, it always announces itself with negative emotion. And no wonder, because it's a problem, right? And one of the logical responses is to sort of freeze in the face of the problem. But of course, if it's a problem that has to be addressed and solved, freezing it and turning away from it is not a good solution, because since things tend to fall apart on their own accord, if you just leave the thing alone that's problematic, it's just going to get worse, not better, which is one of the things that's very annoying about life. So, for example, you know, if you get a warning message from the tax department, the probability that ignoring that will make it go away is zero, right? What will happen instead is that the more you ignore it, the larger it will grow. And if you ignore it long enough, then it will turn into something large enough to eat you. And that will be the end of you. It's unbelievable the degree to which our sanity depends on a functioning sociological structure. And here's why. Well, first of all, you kind of need to know what to do every day. You have to have a routine because you're an animal, you know. And, you know, if you have a dog or a cat, dogs are a really good example of this. Dogs like routine. They like to be walked the number of times a day that they're supposed to be walked. And they get quite sick very rapidly if you don't routinize their days. Children are exactly the same way. Now, you can overdo it, right? But still, you know, you need to know approximately when you should get up. It should be approximately the same every day. You need to know approximately when you're going to eat. You need to know what you're going to eat. You need to know who you're going to eat with. You need to know where to buy your food. It's like 80% of your life, 70% of your life, something like that, consists of those things that you do every single day, that you repeat. And those are often the things that people think about as the trivial elements of their life. But one of the things I would like to point out to you, if you do the mathematics, I did this with a client of mine who was having a hard time putting his child to bed. They were having a fight every night. And I knew by that time, the studies indicate that most parents only spend 20 minutes per day of one-on-one time with their child. Now, the reason for that is that people are busy, and it's actually not that easy to parse out 20 minutes of one-on-one time. It's a lot bloody more time than you think. But that's all there is, 20 minutes. And he's spending like 40 minutes a day fighting with this kid, trying to get the kid to go to bed. And that's not very entertaining. You know, you think, well, it's just having a scrap with the kid about going to bed. But it's no. If it happens every day, it's a catastrophe. So you do the math. So we'll say 5 hours a week for the sake of argument, just to keep it simple. It's 20 hours a month. It's 240 hours a year. That's 6 40-hour work weeks. So that guy was basically spending a month and a half of work weeks doing absolutely nothing but having a wretched time fighting with his son, trying to get him to go to bed. Horrible, right? That's just way too much time to spend doing something like that if you want to actually have a positive relationship with someone, because it's just too punishing. And so, well, so you need structure, you need predictability, and you need more of it than you think, just to keep you sane. Now, if you're lucky, and maybe a bit odd, you can deviate 5% from the norm, or 10% from the norm, or something like that, carefully and cautiously, as long as the rest of you is all well-ordered in a normative manner. You might be able to get away with that, and you might be able to sustain it across time, and people might be able to tolerate you if you do it, or maybe you'll get really lucky and you happen to be creative but reasonably well put together, and people will actually be happy that there's something idiosyncratic and unique about you. But even under those circumstances, mostly what you want is to have a routine that's disciplined, that's predictable, and bloody well stick to it. You're going to be way healthier and happier and saner if you do that. And then the other thing that you need, because this is one of the things the psychoanalysts got wrong, I think, is that they overestimated the degree to which sanity was a consequence of internal, of being properly structured internally, you know? Because from the psychoanalytic point of view, you're sort of an ego, and that ego is inside you. And of course, it rests on an unconscious structure. But the purpose of psychoanalysis is to sort out that unconscious structure and the ego on top of it, and to make you a fully functioning and autonomous individual. But there's a problem with that, because the reason that you're sane as a fully functional and autonomous human being isn't because you've organized your psyche, even though that's important. The reason that you're sane, if you have a well-organized unconscious and ego, is because other people can tolerate having you around for reasonably extensive periods of time and will cuff you across the back of the head every time you do something so stupid that people will dislike you permanently if you continue. And so what people are doing to each other all the time, just nonstop, is broadcasting sanity signals back and forth, right? It's like you smile at people if they're, well, if they're not only behaving properly, but behaving in a way that you would like to see them continue to behave. You frown at them if they're not. You ignore them if they're not. You shun them. You roll your eyes at them. You manifest a disgust face. You don't listen to them. You interrupt them. You won't cooperate with them. You won't compete with them. It's like you're blasting signals at other people about how to regulate their behavior so frequently. Well, it just makes up all of your social interaction. That's why we face each other, and we have emotional displays on our face, and we're looking at each other's eyes, and we know as much as we can about what's going on with each other, given that we don't have immediate access to the contents of their consciousness. And so partly what you're doing with your routine is establishing yourself as a credible, reliable, trustworthy, potentially interesting human being who isn't going to do anything too erratic at any moment. And everyone else is around there tapping you into shape, making sure that that's exactly what you are. And that's how you stay sane. And so what happens to people too, if they don't have a routine and they get isolated, is they start to drift. And they drift badly, because the world is too complicated for you to keep it organized all by yourself. You just cannot do it. So we outsource the problem of sanity. And it's very intelligent that we outsource the problem of sanity, because sanity is an impossibly complex problem. And so the way that we manage the incredibly complex problem is we have a very large number of brains working simultaneously on the problem all the time. It's like a stock market for sanity.